Introducing two new Subway melts. Try the new chicken cordon bleu melt stacked with juicy chicken, black forest ham, and melted cheese. Or the new $5 footlong chicken marinara melt. Tender chicken covered in marinara sauce and melted cheese. Melted goodness made irresistible. Subway melts. Subway. Eat fresh. The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report, a somber day. The Saints absolutely shellacked the Patriots, and I don't know where to turn. But fortunately, for the next 45 minutes, I can be diverted by our friend Cousin Sal, who's here to guest the Lions, as always, is on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. What's happening?
What's happening, Bill?
Yeah, we lost money last night.
Well, we lost money, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know who jinxed it more. You did text me. It was, I think the Pats were up 7-3, and Welker had a big punt return or something.
No, I texted you right after the touchdown, and I was all excited. That it just looked like the Saints weren't going to stop them the whole game, the way they had that drive. And yeah, it was a weird game, though, because it really, the Brady interception swung the game. And it swung it in a way that it almost felt like it was over when it was 17-7. It was weird. It seemed like it was going to be one of those games that was almost like a tennis match. Uh-huh. You hold serve, I hold serve, you hold serve. And then the Saints kind of broke them with that interception. And then the Pats really pressed, I thought. Didn't you feel like their whole game plan changed after that?
I feel like, and I haven't seen another team like this year, but usually, and I think what you're talking about, like Brady isn't fazed by an interception. He can jump back right back on the horse and get his team back down there. But that crowd kind of takes you out of the game. Doesn't it seem like the only team that has a real home field advantage at this point?
Yeah, you wouldn't throw Minnesota in there?
Yeah, I guess. I just that was so loud. I haven't heard another place that loud all year. So.
I agree, and the fans were great for all four quarters. We see teams in the NFL that'll be good for a quarter and a half, but that crowd, even when the game was like, it looked like it was over, but it was still, you never know. I mean, they were still bringing it. And I thought the Pats looked rattled. I thought Brady looked rattled. I thought Belichick looked like, I don't know what's happened to him. All of a sudden he's writing these weird notes and he's got this kind of stunned look in his face all the time. What happened to this guy?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. But you're right. I mean, it reminds me of like a younger version of the Patriots, really. Like these receivers that come out of nowhere, and it's like, there's five receivers you can't cover. And Breeze looks confident back there. But
Breeze, well, that's the thing. Breeze was amazing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think everybody today is so concerned about the Pats defense, and rightfully so. They were terrible. But Breeze made a couple throws that I don't care what kind of defense you're playing. They're still not going to stop it, you know. It was almost the throws were unfair.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if there's one game, take your team out of it because I know I'm
we're
a
out.
Diehard Cowboys fan. But if there's one team, one game you want to see this year, is it Vikings Saints?
It's got to be. Yeah,
that can't be the Super Bowl, but
it's an awesome game, and I think, you know, it's one of those games that the Vikings had that tortured fan base, never won a Super Bowl, and then the Saints, the Katrina thing, they'd never been to a Super Bowl. It'll be really interesting to see what people's emotions are who don't care, like us. Like, if that was the game. You know, obviously, I'd root for whoever I picked or whoever I gambled on. But ultimately, like, it will be interesting to see where America sides in that game.
Yeah.
It's just it'd be incredible. In fact, it's so incredible that it's almost a guarantee that it doesn't happen.
Of course.
Anytime it looks this awesome on paper, it's got to get screwed up somehow.
Right. I'm not counting on my Cowboys to screw it up. But, I mean, that home – really, the home field, the crowd was just – that to me, like, stood out more than anything. It's like – it's kind of like if you – like, my house at Thanksgiving or Christmas time, like, my family's so loud. If you, like, brought a friend over – to witness it, he'd be rattled. He wouldn't know what to do with my answer. Like, wow, she's so loud. I don't know. I don't even know if I could eat. Like, that's kind of how it was last night.
I agree with you. Okay. And we knew the Superdome was a good home field advantage, but I really thought after what the Pats did in Indy for the first three quarters, I just didn't think they would get rattled by that.
Right.
It's just like, this is like an experienced offense that, you know, these guys have been playing together now for a while, and I just didn't see that one coming.
Well, now you're looking at, you're probably going to play in the first round, right? I mean, you got the, I think the Chargers, the Bengals.
We'll be the four.
You'll be the four.
Yeah.
But see, like,
now
it doesn't really matter if you're the three or the four, right? Like, if you're the three, you may have to host the Steelers, which is, I think, worse than hosting the Jaguars as a four. You know what I mean?
Well, the four is worse, though, because that means in round two you go to Indy.
Yeah, you'll go to Indy. That's right. That's the only thing. Well, they might want that.
Well, I'd rather go to San Diego.
Yeah.
Hey, the bottom line is they're not. Let's be honest. They're not going to do anything with the way that defense looks. They don't rush the passer, and they can't stop the pass. It's just any offense is going to put up a lot of points in them. And
would you take Seymour back at this point if you could undo that trade?
Here's the thing, though. Did Belichick make that trade knowing that this team didn't have it? Because now I'm starting to feel like he did.
Really?
You know. Hey, you know, my dad said today, I was talking to my dad, and my dad is very glass half full, and I'm a little more glass half empty. I'm more like my mom. But my dad was like, wow, I don't know if our secondary, we just don't have the guys who can, you know, pull off Belichick's. And I was saying, like, Dad, we won a Super Bowl with Troy Brown as our nickelback.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, at some point, you can't just blame the talent. You can't say, oh, Jonathan Wilhite, he's so bad. Like, Troy Brown had to have been worse than Jonathan Wilhite.
Yeah,
so,
well, that's what I mean. It seems like you're lacking a pass rusher. You always get that one sack to bail you out of any.
With no pressure.
It's nice to have that third and 16 at some point, you know, and then it's a little tougher for Breeze to convert.
The bigger issue to me is I'm tired of watching these Patriot games the last 3-4 years where they just get outcoached. You know, like I just said, Sean Payton worked Belichick like a speed bag last night, and Gruden did a really nice job of breaking down some of those plays and how. Watch what the Pats did here, or the Saints did here. They faked this. They faked this little double screen, and then this tight end waits, and he releases. Like, they really, those were great plays.
It's tough. It's tough. You can't say he stepped up defensively. You really can't.
No, and it's same thing with the Colts. Like, why can't this team get stops? Like, why is this? We score, we make it 24-17. Why am I totally confident that the Saints are going to roll down and score? And I don't remember the last time I watched a big Pats game where, you know, the announcers were talking, well, why, this is part of the genius of Bill Belichick. Watch what he does right here. Like, when's the last time you saw that?
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Like, they thrash the lousy teams and just they struggle against the good ones.
I mean, this is a guy who is winning Super Bowls with Troy Brown and with, like, Mike Vrabel as throwing touchdowns to Mike Vrabel and all these innovative things, and it doesn't seem like there's a lot of innovation anymore. That's the part that concerns me. And it's like, you know, I hate again, I don't like being glass half empty, but just you watch what Sean Payton did last night, and you're like, wow, that guy has complete command on his team, over his team, and knows, and definitely had a plan in that game. I feel like I feel like the Pats had a plan. But as soon as they fell behind, they just, you know, they obviously wanted to chew up clock and run the ball. But I still feel like the Vikings could beat the Saints because it does seem like you can run on them.
It'd be a good game. Let me ask you this. Who do you feel worse for, the guy who had the over last night or the guy who needed 10 fantasy points from Tom Brady?
Brady in my East Coast League put up a -4.
Did he really?
Yeah. Imagine getting the guy needed like 10 points to win, and he got the -4 out of Brady.
-4? What is it? 12 points for an interception?
You can only, quarterback can only get points if he hits 250 passing yards.
Oh, I see.
And then every interception is -2.
And that game didn't go over either. How about that?
Well, let's talk about that. So it's 38-17. What was there? 6 minutes?
57 and a half is the number they have to hit, yeah.
Yeah, so they're at 55. Carney comes in for the 37-yarder.
Yeah.
And I was in the car at that point. Did he hook it or slice it?
Oh, it looked like it was a little of everything. I mean, he hooked it, I guess. He hooked it. Hooked it right. But, I mean, I don't want to say anyone's betting on these games, but John Carney. What did he make off that? That's insane. But that it should have gone way over anyway. What was it at halftime?
It was 31. Was it 30? No, it was 24-10.
24-10.
Yeah. And it felt like, at that point, it felt like there was going to be 80 points.
Two touchdowns traded right away in the third quarter, right?
Well, that's the other thing that the Pats fans, like myself, it hurts to admit this, but, you know, Maroney fumbles to start the second half. And that big idiot in the Saints picks it up and decides he's going to bulldoze through seven guys to try to score a touchdown and fumbles it back.
Yeah, that was a
but if he just falls to the ground, the Saints score the next play. It's 31-10 at the 14-minute mark of the third quarter. Like, that game's over right there. It actually could have been, I think, a lot worse than it was, which is what scares me even more. But I don't know where Randy Moss was last night. They weren't going to him, and he didn't seem that invested.
Yeah, I know. If you can't, well, they went deep to him a few times in the beginning, right?
They ran the play for him in the beginning, and Brady didn't throw it to him, and it was like, and then they had the broken play that he caught.
The one that was intercepted was probably going to him. That looked like a mess.
The only other thing I noticed last night that I wanted to mention is it really seemed like Brady was his own offensive coordinator for most of that game. Like, did you notice he kept looking at his arm? And he wasn't even, like, listening to the headset. He was kind of calling his own plays. So apparently we don't have an offensive coordinator.
I don't know. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if you heard, like, the crowd really just took him out, especially if he's calling his own plays off the arm.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe he couldn't hear the coordinator. Great atmosphere, though. And, you know, that's where the Pats won Super Bowl 36 and one of the dark gambling days of your life. But, I'll always have a soft spot for the Superdome. And who's against a world where the Saints and the Vikings are good?
No, I know.
Well, that's really fantastic.
I think we were going off of was that the Saints played some lousy teams recently. They played Tampa. Who else did they play? And the week before, the one decent game they played against the Falcons Monday night, it was so ho-hum. Like, they kind of barely won that one. That was a close game. So
they hadn't been playing great. And then on the flip side, you know, you were just basing off the Pats dominating that Colts game for 3.5 quarters or whatever it was. And they, you know, and then it was, I guess you could say, relatively fluky how they lost it. But now, in retrospect, after watching what the Saints did to them last night, the 4th-and-2 call makes a little more sense in the Colts game.
I guess so, with the defense.
He must have known. I mean, he must realize, like, that he just doesn't have the horses or doesn't have the pass rush, I guess, more importantly.
What's sad for the Patriots fans, I think, right now, is you can't now say, well, Belichick was embarrassed, and now he's going to make everyone pay. It doesn't seem like you have that to fall back on anymore.
No.
Like, the talent's kind of caught up with them.
The Saints did kill Tampa last week, 38-7. Yeah, but they at St. Louis, 28-23. Home against Carolina in week 9, 30-20. In week 8, home against Atlanta, 35-27. In week 7, they had that Miami had that game and gave it back to him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you thought the Pats were the best team they've faced in over a month, but.
Yeah. You know, I got to say one more thing, and then we'll move to the Lions. Don't email me. If you're listening and you like to send emails, or you're one of my friends and you like to torture me because you don't like the Pats and you love Spygate and all that stuff, don't email the whole Belichick can't do it anymore now that he doesn't have the other team's signals email.
You don't like that?
Well, here's the thing. They got caught in week 1 in 2007, and then they won the next 17 games in a row without signals. So that theory is out the window. You can't throw that theory. Obviously, that's not why, you know, that's not why they succeeded this decade. The reason they're failing right now is they didn't draft well the last couple of years.
I think people are just trying to get under your skin now.
Oh, they're under it. They're under it, Sal.
10 times as many emails saying that.
They're under my skin. This whole season's under my skin.
You're going to get 5 from me today, and I didn't even care about that Spygate.
I keep coming back to the fact that Belichick is now 4 years younger than my dad. Who I had to wake up last night during the game. I mean, it's like, at some point, you just get old, you know?
Yeah, I think you had to wake Bill up, too.
Week 13 Lions, you crushed me last week. We are tied at 6-6. The winner gets to beat the loser with a Subway sub. Now, my mom, I talked to over the holidays, and she's very, very concerned about this because she says that she can hear in your voice that you don't just want to win and you don't want to just beat me with the sub. You actually want to hurt me. And she says she can hear it in the voice. I'm very worried about you, was her exact words. You're not going to actually try to hurt me, right?
Well, I don't want to say that. I don't want to go out and say it. But I was thinking about that. And How great would it be if months after your mom attempted to save my son's life in a pool mishap, that I took her son's life by beating him with the Genoa salami hero?
Yeah, that's true. You got to factor that in if you're beating me with the sub. My mom did save your son.
I think also you're going to beat me this week because I did not do well.
It's funny. I felt good about this week. I went through all the matchups and wrote down my fake guesses.
I think I feel good. The first game, the Thursday night game, I did hit. It was the only one I hit exactly, and it's Jets at Bills.
And I'm going to hit it exactly too. Thursday night in Toronto, by the way.
Oh wow! I didn't even know that.
At the Rogers Center.
It is. Oh.
Yeah. I have Jets by 3 for this.
Yeah, you got it exactly.
Yeah.
All right, we're tied 1-1.
I think if that game was in Buffalo, though, what would the line be?
I thought it was in Buffalo. I thought 3. I don't even think they care anymore.
But hey, right. I have a quick prediction about this game.
Yeah.
Because as we know, the NFL Network Thursday night games are always bad anyway. The teams are tired. They're always sloppy. If you remember from last year, the Toronto crowd was awful. It was
What was the game?
I forget. Buffalo played there, I think, twice last year.
Yeah.
Once.
Once?
Yeah,
oh,
they play a preseason game and a regular season game. So that's twice a year, but only one real game.
Joe Mead, Bills fan, weighing
in. The difference between the preseason and the regular season game.
Joe Mead, would you agree that the Toronto crowd was not good?
It's not good, especially compared to what you get in Buffalo.
Yeah, so that to me is worth 3 points.
Yeah, I guess it would be about even.
It's funny because
what's going on with T.O.? He's not cooperating. It's getting cold. He's supposed to start to suck and threaten to quit the team. And
he's great.
Fitzpatrick's face. And he's scoring touchdowns now.
Joe Mead.
Yeah.
We lost him.
You're secretly a little bit excited about the Bills.
Oh, I love, Ryan Fitzpatrick just throwing bombs to T.O. It's fun to watch.
Yeah.
4-7 now? Are you eliminated from the playoffs?
Well, I don't know if technically yet, but 7 losses and you can count yourself out.
I don't think 9-7 gets in, yeah.
Well, what if there's like a 7-team logjam at 9-7? They're not out of it.
They'd have to catch the Patriots. I don't think that's happening.
No. After last night, I'm not prepared for anything. All right, next game.
You know what? You could beat the Patriots because Bill Belichick doesn't have that spy gate thing going.
Hey!
That's the only reason.
That gets under my skin.
Oh, all right.
You're under my skin right now.
All right, we'll move on to Sunday. Denver at Kansas City.
I think this is in the Vegas zone. I have Denver by 4.5.
Wow, you got it exactly. You're going to kill me this week. I thought it was higher. I thought 6.5.
Nah, that's a Vegas zone. You know what? Gus sent me this. Gus, diehard Broncos fan, said that the Broncos are 1-16 in December games at Arrowhead.
Really?
Yeah, I thought that was
7-4. Casey's 3-8. They had 10 days to rest. Josh McDaniel swearing up on a top YouTube clip. It looked like it was going to be a good one for Denver. But
hey, just a quick question. If that had happened on an ESPN telecast and not an NFL Network telecast, is that 100 times a bigger deal?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
You would think, though, Thanksgiving, he would tone it down a little bit. No, he gave it. That guy wants a win.
I like it.
Meanwhile, the Chiefs might be bringing in Charlie Weiss. They're scoring too many points, I guess. They want the first pick in next year's draft.
Joe, are you excited about that? You got rid of him.
Yeah, but I'd like to get rid of him next year so we could keep Jimmy Clausen and Golden Tate around for one more year, but everyone's going to go pro now.
Those guys love him, huh? You hear him in the interview. They sound devastated.
He makes some food.
All right, Tampa at Carolina.
We have no Jake DeLome in this game, correct?
What do you mean? He's benched?
I thought he broke a ring finger in his throwing hand.
Oh. Well, he was going to start throwing lefty anyway, just to try to mix things up.
I can't believe I picked him in the Meadowlands last weekend.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, DeLome unlikely to play as a broken finger.
Is that right?
Well, it's pretty sad that that's what it took to get him not to play anymore.
Oh, boy. I'm kind of screwed here because in our suicide pool that you're in, I think you've been eliminated for weeks now. I'm stuck with Carolina here. But
I got Panthers.
Good news. That should be good news for me, right?
Might be good news. Might just mean they run the ball. I got Panthers by 9.
All right. I get this one. It's 6. I had 7. Yeah.
Right.
They like Tampa, Vegas does, for some reason.
Really?
I texted you. I said the three most exciting players right now are Chris Johnson, Ray Rice, and Jake Delhomme. I mean, just waiting to see if he can hit the four interception mark every week is something else.
Yeah, like Rob Stone, I think he calls four strikes or three strikes a bone. It's three or four strikes he calls out a hand bone.
Yeah.
It's got to be some term for when Jake's going for the fourth interception.
Yeah.
He's going for the Rushmore or something.
Oh, yeah, that could be good.
Yeah, something. Good. Joe Mead, work on that.
Joe, work on it.
Okay.
New Orleans at Washington.
Saints by eight.
Ooh. All right, I said you get it though. I said 11, and it's 9.
Yeah,
I don't understand. Like,
Redskins are
Saints,
good though.
Like a lot of teams, if they let down, they lose the next week. But if they let down, they could only win this game by 7, right? And that would be a huge letdown.
Yeah, I think that Vegas is very afraid of the whole Monday night. 6 days later, after the emotional Monday night win thing.
Yeah. I'm going to say the Skins will, I don't know that they win this, I don't think they win this one, but they're going to spoil someone's season. The Giants, Cowboys, Eagles, and Saints, they're going to screw someone up.
We watched that game together at Jimmy's house, and we all agreed that Jason Campbell continues to be underrated.
Yeah.
And I got to give Aaron Schatz props to Football Outsiders, because he was the guy who, a couple weeks ago on the podcast, threw some intriguing Jason Campbell stats at us.
Did he?
And I'd always just kind of written him off. He's not good. And he was like, this guy is going to be the underrated free agent this spring because he does this, and this. And it's like, wow, he's actually not bad.
And with Cooley in the lineup, he's that much better. I think he plays three quarters really well, I'll say that.
Mm.
Philly at Atlanta, no Matt Ryan.
And your boy Chris Redman, who won you a bet.
What a Sunday I had, Bill. I needed the Falcons to win, the Titans to win, and the Ravens to win, just to win. And all came down to the last play, all three of them.
Mm.
Of course, we had the Patriots +7.5 last night, which that's the end of that. But
your Falcons,
an exciting Sunday.
Your Falcons pick was the luckiest one because the Bucs had the ball up three, I think with like 2 minutes left, on the Atlanta, I'm going to say like 35.
Yeah.
And they went for the long field goal.
Yep.
Did not make it. Gave Atlanta the ball on the 41.
You don't give Chris Redman 16 chances from the 3-yard line. He will make you pay. I'm in time again.
Well, listen, I know Raheem Morris is in over his head because he's fired both of his coordinators that he hired 4 months ago. But make Chris Redman go 90 yards to beat you, Raheem.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to go up by six. Just make them beat you. Make Chris Redman go 90.
Yep. So now Philly at Atlanta.
Oh, I got Eagles by 4.5.
Oh, that's right. It's 4.5. I had 4.
I had a couple of Vegas zone picks this week.
I thought I was getting that one. All right, you're up 4-2.
Who are you liking that game?
Oakland at Pittsburgh, there's no line because they don't know Big Ben's what he's going to do.
So this is just an exhibition pick.
We'll skip it. I think with Ben in there, it's 14.
Yeah, I had somewhere between 10 and 14, depending on the QB.
All right. I think he could sit Roethlisberger. Go host Monday Night Raw or something. Dennis Dixon, I think, can win this one.
I wish I should just run as a column our series of texts during the Steelers-Ravens game. As we waited for 3 hours for Dennis Dixon to make the throw we knew he had in him. And then he did it, but the Ravens dropped it. And it's like, is he going to get through this whole game without making a throw that to the Steelers? And then to the Ravens, and finally he came through.
Yeah,
but it took five quarters.
You got a guy who's literally trying to kill you, Ray Lewis, trying to kill the quarterback for 60 minutes.
You know, did you see Ray Lewis's interview afterwards?
Yeah, what did he say? He watched the Sunday games and they're all weak?
He was like surprised by the lack of energy. And he was talking about Ray Rice. He really made Ray Rice sound like the next coming of Gandhi. But I really think Ray Lewis has a chance to become an awesome, awesome, awesome studio guy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm going to throw that out there.
You
agree with me?
I do. I don't know if it's for ESPN. I don't know if you're willing to take chances.
Well, it might be for the Rahway State Prison Cable Channel, but it'll be for on some sort of TV outlet. That guy is going to be a great studio guy. I
look forward to that.
He's like a cross between he's like a badass football player, but like he's got like a little like reverend side of the way he talks, and he's very like bulges his eyes. He makes cool points. I don't know.
Like a scarier Charles Barkley.
Yeah, it's true. Barkley with like just a slight hint of a potential homicide or something. Yeah, I don't know. I think he's riveting.
It's NFL primetime meets Oz.
There's that edge. He brings an edge that I don't think we've seen on TV of real potential violence if you disagree with him.
All right, Houston at Jacksonville.
Here's where the Ray Lewis fans say that he hasn't been in trouble in 10 years.
And, oh, yeah, I know.
And he was only in the limo and whatever, all that stuff. So, yeah, okay, we heard you. What's the next one?
Houston at Jacksonville.
Wow, the no-hard Texans. Jaguars by 3.
All right, this is the one that angered me most. I had Jaguars by 4. It's a pick. Why is this a pick? Jacksonville, they're at home. They have a better record. They have the best player. Houston can't finish games. They lead on the Titans and Colts.
And I throw in this. We're right at the time, week 13, when you're probably better off just riding teams one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Texans are a lost cause. I think that's a team that not only fires its coach, but also might go a different direction with the QB. I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked if they, I guess it would be hard to cut. They have a big contract with him, but man, they need to shake up one of those guys.
I mean, they have good leads on the Titans and the Colts, and they can't finish at all. I mean, he should figure something out here.
They have an energy issue because the quarterback is very like passive and laid back, and so is the coach. And it just seems like they roll over in these tight games.
Yeah,
something's weird. Something's off with the energy of that team. I don't like.
They can't kill the clock. I thought Steve Slayton was good, and then like he fumbled, and so he's out. And Ryan, like I don't know what that team's doing.
I don't either.
Tennessee at Indy.
Man, I looked at this one for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, me too.
And I ended up going Vegas zone on it, 5.5.
All right, you got this one. It's 6.5. I had 8, so you were closer again. I don't know.
So it's six and a half.
What's that? It's six and a half, yeah.
So that's our underdog pick this week.
I think so. I mean, Chris Johnson said they're going to win 10 in a row, and I trust him. He's the new Walter Cronkite. maybe even faster. I really trust him. I think they're going to do it.
I don't know whether I believe it's going to actually happen. I just know that I want it to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm almost like 80% is excited about the Titans going 10-6 and making the playoffs. Is anything else that could happen this NFL season? I just think that'd be amazing. When will that ever happen again? How could anyone not root for that?
And why do we like them so much? Didn't they cost us a ton of money in the first 4 weeks when we said, oh, well, they have to win. They have to beat the Texans. They have to beat this team.
Yeah, that's true.
Losing. But, yeah, I want to see.
You know what the bottom line is that Vince Young is just really fun to watch. And it's a more fun league if he's good versus him being sullen and on the bench and just looking sad. And it's just how many actually entertaining guys are there in this league? Like 10?
No, not too many. Not too many.
Every time he goes back to pass, it's exciting.
He's good. The only thing I worry about here is this is going to be the bandwagon pick, though, because everyone loves Vince Young. Everyone loves how he ended that game. Everyone wants to see the Colts lose. We really have to focus on what is.
Well, I want to see the Sports Illustrated cover. I want to make sure that the Inside the NFL doesn't have the 5-minute interview with him.
Mm-hmm.
We got to make sure that the Titans remain focused and that this weekend is in the media tour.
Right. You're right. Detroit at Cincinnati. Well, the Bengals get some lousy. I guess they did that last year, so it makes sense. But
week after week, it seems like we're debating how many points, whether it's going to be 11, 12, 13, 14, or 15 with them.
Mm-hmm. They're this like the opposite of the Patriots. Like they struggle with these bad teams.
Yeah.
And then just really come out against the good ones.
I kind of factored that into my pick this week because they almost made the line too high last week.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say 12 this week.
We split this because I said 14. It's 13. 13 points.
Oh.
It's a tough one.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
St. Louis at Chicago.
I thought this was the toughest pick of the day. Because the Bears clearly suck. Mm-hmm. But I think Vegas can bump this a little higher because there's still people out there who might not realize the Bears suck. So I said Bears by 8.
You got it. You're going to win this week. It's 8.5. I said 9.5. I thought it'd be higher.
The Bears really are bad, though.
Oh, man. They don't stand a chance against a decent team. They really don't.
The Bears fans, have they gone, has any fan base gone from high hopes and excitement and all that stuff to just being sullen and bitter without an injury? It's not like, yeah, you say like that.
Urlacher's out. But.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, that. Yeah, you're right. Okay, that's fair.
No,
that did hurt them.
I mean, that quarterback, that is a huge disappointment. I mean,
Maybe I should phrase it like this. Has any fan base ever flipped on a savior-type guy faster? And this really was like an eight-week thing where they went from, this guy is our guy, he's the franchise guy, to, oh, my God, I can't watch this guy anymore.
Yeah. I mean, they basically got what they were hoping to get, what Brett Favre became with the Vikings. I mean, really, there were huge, such high hopes for Cutler.
But do you think... I think Favre has super exceeded any expectation that anybody had. I think people are hoping he would just be competent.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the big, can he just not turn the ball over and we'll be fine? This guy's got like a 27-3 interception touchdown ratio.
It's crazy.
I think the Vikings fans would have settled for 14 touchdowns and 10 interceptions.
Well, let's talk about that game, because there's no line on it anyway. Oh, well, that's a Sunday night game, right?
Now, yeah. Why isn't there
no line on it? Because there's of Arizona.
Because of Warner?
He's like seeing a specialist. He doesn't know if he wants to. I think God should tell him to sit this one out, really.
Why doesn't he ask God what to do?
Admin. What's that?
Why doesn't he just ask God?
Yeah, he should say, step in and lead him the right way here.
What does he need a specialist for?
His vision, he can't see. This concussion is going to be a serious thing. Like, we may not have a sport in 3 years.
We talked about this on Sunday. Like, this league 10 years from now is going to just be a different league. They're going to have
someone invent a helmet. I don't care how big it is, but please help it out.
Well, my big prediction is mouthpieces.
Yeah.
I don't even know if that's a prediction, because that seems to be what most of the insiders think. But they're going to figure out a way to make mouthpieces that prevent. Between the mouthpieces and the helmets, they'll be able to prevent, I think, most of this stuff. The sport
I don't see how that works. Why would a mouthpiece? I know it's about impact and everything, but it seems like an earring would do just as good a job as a mouthpiece.
About the structure of the jaw and how your head vibrates when it's been hit. And the sport that I think is going to be gone in 15 years is boxing.
Yeah.
Wait, I watched the two HBO fights. I forget the prelim. I forget the guy's name. I'm blanking.
Decision, right?
Well, it was one of the worst decisions of the decade. I mean, it's like one of those, you show that fight to the average sports fan and they just think boxing is a corrupt sport. But that guy just got killed for 12 rounds. I don't understand, you know, in this day and age with what we know about head injuries, I just don't understand how long we're going to allow that to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I think the judges had a head injury, too. I think a concussion is what they call the draw.
Five concussions.
Yeah. But back to the Vikings, though. Like, is there a quarterback you're more confident in completing a pass than when Brett Favre throws 15 yards downfield?
Yeah, any pass Drew Brees makes.
Brees you like better?
Manning, too.
I say Favre right now. I don't know. I say Favre is... It seems like it's just right on the money every time.
I'm not going to get roped in.
All right.
Because you know why? Because we're 12 weeks through a 21-week season, and the guy's 40 years old.
That's true.
You know, I'm 40 years old, and I go for an hour-long dog walk, and I'm tired after.
All right.
Maybe he's cheating. Maybe he's doing stuff.
But there's no one I'd rather have on a dog walk than you right now. Honestly.
Thank you.
When you drop back,
thank
clean
you.
Up after. Yeah. All right, San Diego at Cleveland, late afternoon.
Tough one.
That was Brady Quinn, the Browns' best receiver. They had Braylon Edwards a few weeks ago.
I get Chargers by 10.5.
All right, I win this one, actually. I said 13, it's 12.5.
It's It's a lot of points for a West Coast team going to a 15-degree weather stadium.
That is, but they. It seems like you look up and they have 40 points at the end. They're another one that crushes these lousy teams. So.
Yeah, they really do. I like the Chargers.
San Fran at Seattle. Both teams coming off a win. What are the odds?
I know. It's a borderline three, but I don't really like Seattle, so I said Seattle by 2.5.
All right. I think you clinched the week with that. I said Seattle by 3. That game's a pick.
Oh. Wow.
I don't know what to do with that. Honestly, I'll go back and forth 6 times with that game.
Not sold on Alex Smith in the road in that quest field.
Yeah. You're up 9-4 with 3 games left.
My mom's going to be happy.
Dallas at the Giants.
Wow, I thought this was a tough one. I have Giants by 2.
I have Giants by 1, and it's Cowboys by 1.
Ooh.
So I get that. Someone's not familiar with the annual December collapse of the Cowboys.
See, I was going to go Cowboys by 3, and then I was thinking, no, December, Giants Stadium. This has all the makings of Wade Phillips holding the challenge flag with that vacant look on his face as Romo's slumped on the ground.
Sloppy arm tackles on Brandon Jacobs, who hasn't had more than 75 yards rushing, and then he puts up 220.
I wasn't going to come to Jimmy's this week, but now I might come just to see what you're capable of in the second half of this game.
I'm going to be mad. Obviously, at 8-3, I would have written this off as a loss, but I'm going to be mad if we lose this game because now it's like it really is falling into place. Like Miles Austin is. They have pictures of him in Vegas. Like, it's like, all right, turn the calendar. We're in trouble. Miles Austin's doing tequila shots with the Blue Man Group.
And also, you have all the Giants fans who are really, really openly blatant about locking out on the season.
Yeah. Oh, hey, one thing about Giants fans, we know when we don't have it.
Right. We heard somebody was making that case at Jimmy's house on Sunday.
Yeah, right.
We know when our team sucks. We'll be the first to admit it, and this team sucks.
All right, then just lay down for us then.
Yeah, how about this? Let's stop rooting for the team if you feel that way.
Come on, boys. Put them away. They've lost 5 out of 6. They don't want to play this year. Put them away.
That game could break the record for most incredulous reactions from two coaches.
Yeah, you're right.
Because Tom Coughlin now, he's just permanently in that stance where his hands are on his knees and he's just completely perplexed by whatever's happening. Yeah.
Nervous already. All right, New England at Miami. They moved this from Sunday night to late Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I thought that was a bigger insult than the Saints' offense last night. We were unflexed. Deflexed?
Yeah, you were deflexed, I think.
Joe, did you see the Pats were unflexed?
Incredible.
Isn't that how the mighty have fallen? Jesus. I have Pats by 3.
Oh, stop it. I had 7.5. It's 6. Look, I know what I said about Belichick not having it anymore to stick it to teams, but come on. They're close to a touchdown here, right?
Well, apparently I'm the only person here who remembers that we routinely lose in Miami.
Miami played well going to New England a couple weeks ago, right?
This line should not be higher than 3.
I don't know what to make of this.
That's all I'm going to say.
They looked terrible last week at Buffalo. Joe Mead, is it just the Bills? What did the Bills do differently there?
Well, really, it was a 3-point game with like 3 minutes left. And what, Chad Henne threw 3 picks?
Yeah, I was going to say, it looked like Chad Henne was a little too involved in that game for how the Dolphins are constructed. He should not be that prominently involved.
I mean, if the Bills could score 24 on the Dolphins in the fourth quarter, that's right up Brady's alley, I think. Like, he can even get behind a little.
All right, you're talking me into it.
Oh, that's on our two-team teaser somewhere.
Okay.
Monday night, Baltimore-Green Bay. Good game.
We didn't do Vikings-Cardinals.
We did. There's no line because Warner.
Well, let's say Warner plays. Oh, so we go to the Vikings by 3, you think?
I said 4, but...
3.5? Somewhere between 3 and 4.
Yeah, probably right in there. I would take the Vikings, too.
It's funny. I like the Cardinals in that game.
Really?
I don't think the Vikings... Yeah, I like the Cardinals. I don't know why. I've been ice cold. But,
it's funny, because like, I want to start a sentence, too. It says, I don't think the Vikings... and then what do you say? Like, they do it all. They really do. And I know they've been playing lousy teams, but...
the pass rush component is the part that I don't think the Saints have. The fact that the Vikings can always stay in games with the way they pressure people.
Yeah, that's scary. Baltimore, Green Bay, Monday.
I have Green Bay by 3.5.
Yeah, you get that one. Oh, you demolished me this week. I said 4. It's actually 3. Green Bay by 3.
Oh, I was going to say that.
So it's 10.
What do you like in that game?
10-6. I think Baltimore surprised them, and I don't know how either, because as part of our texting at Marathon Sunday night, we both noticed that Flacco, I'm familiar with the sophomore jinx, but didn't he look way more poised in his rookie season than he did? He looked fierce for his life back there.
We both noticed that he looked a little too rattled for the situation.
Yeah.
And also, it reminded me a little of Matt Schaub, actually. There's some sort of...
Yeah.
I'm really starting to wonder if being a quarterback is just 90% attitude.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I know you got to make the great throws and all that, but there's something about the way you just approach every play and just your demeanor that seems like your team feeds off it one way or the other. Flacco looked frightened to me.
I think, like, if you drop someone from Mars and said, okay, which one of these, we're watching the Sunday night game together, which one of these quarterbacks only started taking snaps on Thursday?
You would have said Flacco.
Say Flacco, not Dixon.
Well, Roethlisberger really is successful for only two reasons. One is that he's extremely confident at all times, and two is that he's gigantic and he can always buy that extra second or 2 seconds or whatever he needs. But it's not like he's the most accurate dude in the planet.
Right.
You know? He's got that confidence, and he just seems like he feels like he can always win. Mm-hmm. I think Breeze is like that. Manning's obviously like that, but and that's Romo kind of vacillates between he's like that, but he's not like that.
Yeah.
It kind of depends on the situation.
Like
that. So I took the lead. I'm up 7-6. Hey, Sal, a reader gave an intriguing wrinkle on one of the book signing stops about what we should do with the Subway bet. He was saying that it should just be through 17 weeks, but then every time somebody the winner, each week he wins in the playoffs, he can add something to the sub. So like, let's say I win. So I start out with a basic one-topping sub, like it would be like a roast beef. But if I win in round one, then I get to put meatball in there. And you're basically playing the prevent for the rest of the way. I thought that was good. I mean, we didn't think of it in time.
The only thing is, now I'm down 7 weeks to 6, so I have to win 3 out of the next 5. I'll do that if you want.
No, I was saying we can do it next year. We shouldn't change the rules now. We already agreed on it. But I think next year I like that wrinkle.
All right, I do.
Like so you got 11 playoff games. For every playoff game you do better than the other guy, that's a topping. So if I go 8-3 in the playoffs and you go 3-8 and I already won, then I get to add 5 things to the sub.
All right.
But if you beat me, then it's...
Of course, have to clear this with your mother first, see if it's okay. But it's funny. I think my mother is rooting for you. It's weird how it works out.
Oh. Because she'd rather see you get hit? That's funny.
Yeah,
I like
my
that.
My family's weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
What are we going to do for an upset? What, we like the Titans? We haven't had an upset in the last few weeks.
Yeah, we forgot to do that. I like the Titans. And not just because they're obvious. I just want to root for it.
Yeah.
It would just be
root
fun.
For it. They'll keep it close.
Be like they're probably plus 220, something like that. So
I like,
put like 500 on it.
Chris Johnson's the way. Yeah, right, we're going to put our fake money 500 on it, Joe Mead.
Did you see the Chris Johnson stat that he has 385 plus touchdown, 85 yard plus touchdowns this season, and no running back career has ever had more than 3?
What? Barry Sanders have had more than 3?
No running back has ever had 4.
But 85 is a lot. I would say, like Sanders probably had 865 yards.
Right. But 85 is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, I mean, Tony Dorsett had that 99-yard run, and it was like a defining moment of our childhood. It's like, oh my God. And Chris Johnson.
A lot of guys not being able to catch you to have 385-yard touchdowns. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a lot of things have to go right. But I thought that was incredible. And as we said on Sunday, he's the number one pick now, I think.
Yeah,
next year in fantasy.
Chris Johnson, Jones-Drew, and Peterson. I don't know about 2 and 3. Which ones go?
I still think Peterson's 2.
Johnson's first.
Peterson's 2.
Mm, And Forte fourth?
Forte fourth in the 14th round.
Disaster.
Yeah, it's bad. All right, Cousin Sal.
All right.
Wanna, any
Kimmel,
plugs?
Hey, Magic Johnson on tonight. Jimmy Kimmel Live. And Matt Dillon, Jake Gyllenhaal, Don Rickles the rest of the week.
Excellent. Talk to you next week.
All right, buddy.
All right, before we go, I had to quickly call the czar of reality TV, Dave Jacoby, because in my opinion, this is the biggest week in the history of reality TV.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that? Please explain.
You're on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, by the way.
Of course. I'm eating a Subway sandwich right now, too. It's delicious.
I don't want to step on the podcast that we're going to do on Friday after the premiere of the greatest reality show that's ever been on any network ever.
Oh, yeah.
But let's just set the table for this week. So we got... I mean, I'm not watching The Hills anymore, but tomorrow's the season finale.
Yeah, I don't want
today's
that
season finale. We can throw that in for the woman, right? Season
sure.
finale of The Hills. But then Wednesday, The Ruins returns. And it's either the last one or the second to last one. Thursday, we got Russell on Survivor, who is on a Drew Brees-type streak.
Every week, you're like, this is the week Russell gets voted out.
Yeah, it's built the last... one. 3 weeks. And by the way, poo on CBS for giving us the recap episode at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's always it's always upsetting. You realize it like 4 seconds in. You're like, oh, wait, no last time on. Oh.
What can we do to prevent that from ever happening again?
They need to title the show differently. Survivor, comma, recap episode, so they don't build expectations up.
Don't show me ads during your football game that same day that make me think I'm getting a new Survivor.
Ooh, another good point.
Just admit that it's a recap show.
It's a recap. I like the recap show. I watch it. If I knew it was a recap show going into it, I would enjoy it much more.
What is the point of deceiving me?
Exactly, because then you're just making me upset when I realize I've been deceived.
Makes me angry. It'd be like Friday. Dave Jacoby comes on the podcast, and then I just reran our old podcast from a month ago.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that.
No one wants to do that. And the recap episodes themselves are actually fun to watch, and they have good new footage in them. It's just the whole time, you know, I've got a screw face on because I feel like I've been lied to, bamboozled.
Hate CBS for that. And you know what else? Every network does it. The other one that kills me is when ABC does it with Lost. It's like in an all new Lost.
Yeah.
How did they get to the island? It's like, oh, we're gonna go back and see.
And they put like the producer and the writer in those chairs. Like, oh, what we really thought was happening here was the island was the main character. Whatever, guys, show me some new stuff.
Yeah, seriously, just put a new show in.
Yeah.
So then that Thursday night, Russell comes back, followed by the premiere of really what has a chance to be the greatest reality show of all time, Jersey Shore.
The Jersey Shore.
Now, you're gonna come on Friday to discuss, but I threw this out to Joe Mead as we were waiting to get a hold of you. I'm really attracted to some of the girls in the show. What does it say about me?
First of all, you don't know them yet. You know what I mean? It's like the first day of school. Of course you're attracted to the new girls. You know what I mean?
I think it's because I'm a Boston guy, and I always was kind of fascinated by that Long Island, Jersey, Italian, feisty Italian type, because we didn't really have those at Holy Cross, and I never really got to interact with them that much.
Yeah, someone was nice enough to send me like on YouTube you can find it. There's like the cast of the Jersey Shore, and they do like a quick 90-second thing.
Yeah, that's what I watched.
Yeah, and then one of the girls has her own little like video channel. I believe her name is Snooki, of course.
Yes.
And she mentions she's like they get kicked out. There's all kinds of drama. You know, I don't know if it's a spoiler or whatever, but like whatever you want in a reality show, and I personally like sex and violence. I think we're gonna have that in space.
Bizarre reality TV. He personally likes sex and violence for his reality shows.
Yeah.
There's the added caveat here of if you get in a fight, you don't get kicked out of the Jersey Shore show. In fact, they keep you on and encourage you to fight again.
Yeah.
If you keep fighting, you might get your own show. I think this is a brilliant stroke of genius by MTV. I think it makes up for the fact that they're glorifying teen pregnancy on the other show.
Yeah.
This is teen pregnancy. It's okay. Have your premature baby on our show, and then we might give you another show after. I think that's horrible. I can't believe they're doing that.
I just don't watch them.
Well, people are watching them now. That's what worries me.
Yeah.
But this makes up for everything, and I don't care that I'm 40 years old. God dang it, I'm excited for it.
I'm so excited for it. And the week sort of builds, too.
Mm.
You know, it's set up really nicely. This is a powerful week in reality television. You're absolutely right.
And then we also have Bill's Jets Thursday night. Got that going. Good TV night.
Yeah, that'll be a good night.
A
That'd be a good
Matt is excited for Bills Jets?
Look, man, I mean, the NFL's the NFL. I enjoy watching it. I don't get the NFL Network in my house. I really need to be bunkered up to get some good Jersey Shore time in, you know? Mm. So I'll probably miss that one.
Last thing. I haven't talked to you since the big Brad Dorrell Ruins fight.
I don't know if fight's the right word for it, but go.
Beating?
Yeah.
It was one of the all-time he was asking for fights.
So much, it was so much so that you're so embarrassed on his behalf during the whole thing. You're just like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I mean, look, I like an adult beverage every now and again, but you'll never see me just running around trying to fight every single human being in the room who are also my best friends.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. Like, I don't understand what's going on. I mean, and I like how they painted it as he began to sort of, like, fray at the psychological edges because of the pressure cooker that he was in.
Yeah.
It's
just a bad drug.
Yeah, it's like, no, he got hammered.
Yeah, it's a bad drug. How about that?
For someone else's
that
birthday, you know?
Yeah. I just don't know how he is employable after that episode. That's my concern for Brad, who's, you know, engaged and looking for jobs and all that stuff. Have to go in witness protection after that.
He's a pretty good dude, though. I feel like he's employable, you know?
Really? Even after that? Because then it's like the Christmas party's coming up, and you're just terrified of what Brad's capable of the whole time. Don't give Brad shots.
You don't send me a fight. You tip the bartender $50. Like, see that guy over there?
I like that they wrapped it up pretty quickly. It's never clear like how much time elapses between the fight and when the person's actually sent packing, and then where they go. Are they on the same plane after?
There were physical benchmarks this time, though.
What do you mean? Oh, because he had the black eye.
Yeah, it was like, oof, God, that was bad. You can go online and watch him. There's this weird struggle with the guys trying to help him afterwards. It's on the Challenge Daily site. And it's like a good 4 or 5 minutes of chaos where he's just like concussed and drunk and angry and sad and embarrassed and proud. It's just like it's a rainbow of emotion right there while he's lying in that little bed.
You look down on Darrell at all for punches 3 through 8?
It's not so much the punches. It was more like he could have easily sort of squashed that whole thing and left and been like, Brad, whatever. He could have, if he wanted to. It was almost like he kind of wanted it to go there. You know, I don't look down at him for the extra punches. I think once you've crossed that line, it's fine. But I think that he could have handled that differently. It was obviously he was not dealing with a man, you know, who had his wits about him.
I like that when they interview him after, and it's like Brad's like, I feel bad for Darrell. You know, I'm sorry, bro. I love you. And then Darrell's like, yeah, Brad, you're my boy. Sorry about that. I don't know. If I was in a fight like that, I'm not renewing acquaintances after.
It's tough. I don't plan on being in a fight like that. I don't plan on being in either end of that one. I'm not going to go down that hypothetical path.
What was Brad saying as he was screaming the guy to get in a fight? Come on, brah. What was he saying?
It's just all kinds of stuff. You're weak. And then somehow Brad, in his drunken state, resorted to some sort of Muay Thai kickboxing style.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I think a shin kick might work in the octagon, but when you're going against a boxer, landing that first solid shin kick probably isn't your best strategy.
And if, for anyone who didn't see it, to kind of emphasize how drunk Brad was, he was as drunk as Dennis Hopper was in Hoosiers when he wanders onto the court the last time.
Yeah.
And he's, it's a foul. Like, he's just staggering. Like, that's how drunk Brad was.
Yeah, drunker.
At least
Dennis Hopper could stagger.
Yeah, man, that was tough. All right, Czar. So, Friday.
Looking forward to it.
Jersey Shore recap.
Big week for us.
Walk me through your Thursday night. Is there a dinner beforehand? How do you handle your excitement as that night?
Well, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to be in Atlanta for the SEC championship.
Okay.
So while you know, people from all over the country descend on Atlanta to have a good time and to meet old friends and to do all that, I'll be holed up with the room service in my hotel room, just hunkering down, watching my reality TV.
It's fantastic. Fantastic. I will text you during the events.
Look forward to it.
Talk to you Friday.
Target is set off. Whoa!
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much.
Pod.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.
This concludes another installment of the BS Report. And with all the talk about sports, Bill Simmons neglected to mention this important news, which frankly cannot go unstated. Whether tailgating, watching the game with friends, or just really hungry, attack your hunger with Subway Catering. Piled high platters starting at $25, giant subs, cookies, drinks, and more. So find a reason to party, put Subway Catering in charge, and get busy feasting. Subway. Cater fresh.